Good morning, everyone. Shalom Aleichem. In the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu was very concerned, the Pasuk says, and he had to prepare himself for Gimel Dvarim, the Doron Velatvila Ulam Elchama. We have a mitzvah to have bitachin, to trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Yaakov Avinu when he was running away from Esav, is going to protect him wherever he goes. So he had bitochen, and he davens takodesh bochu. You have to have tefillah. He davens takodesh bochu. But at the same time, there's a chiyuv of hishtadlus. The person has an obligation to act as if there were no hashgacha pratis, as if there was no bitochen, as if there was no haftocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why he prepares himself for doron v'letfilah. Usually the Jewish people, all the years of Golus, prepared themselves for Doron. They used to bribe the government officials and bribe the police officials that they shouldn't start up with them. Not to bribe, to do Shaloi Kedin, to bribe that they should treat them like any other citizen in the country. Not about a bribe to get away with things that are keneged the Din of the Machusa. But they would bribe that they should treat them like a normal citizen of the country. So that's during the years of Golus, when you have your own Medina. So they do a little bit Doron, but usually they do Melchama. Like sometimes they have to do an assassination here and there. Or sometimes they have to set off bombs here and there in other countries. That's a Medina has to do like that. Medina Sisal is doing Doron with Saudi Arabia, with other Arab countries. They're giving them Doron. If they'll make a peace agreement with Israel, so then they'll help them make hospitals and help them do technological advances and so on, research, scientific research and so on. So the government does Doron, and the government of Israel does Melchama, unfortunately, a lot of Melchama. And we have to have Jewish people who do Tefillah also. We should do our share. We're not doing the Doron, we're not doing the Melchama, we should do the Tefillah. We have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not enough just we say the Shemoneh Esrei. You have to add whenever there's something problematic. So you have to add. So we should daven, add on in Shema Kalein on the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect Eretz Yisrael from all of the tzoris, from all the enemies that they have there. The Chumash tells us that at night, Yaakov Avinu crossed over the river. He took his 11 children. So Rashi again quotes from the Medrash. What do you mean? He had 12 children. Dina Hechan Hoysa. He had a daughter. So the Rashi quotes the Medrash that he put her in a box, and he closed the box that Esav shouldn't see her. So the Medrash says that he was punished because of that, and that's why she was attacked by Shechem ben Hamor. What was he punished? Wouldn't we have done the same thing? I wouldn't want my daughter to marry Esav. So I'm always reminded of the line in the Mesillas Yesharim, in the chapter when he writes about Zahiris. A person has to practice Zahiris to be careful not to violate Averis. So the Mesillas Yesharim has a beautiful line, Umin HaZahiris, Ishaloli Yizahir Yosemidai, not to be overcautious. If a person exaggerates his caution, that's also ridiculous. It's also ridiculous. Over here is a little bit exaggerated. If Yaakov Avinu doesn't want Esav to see how good-looking his daughter Dina is, so you tell Dina, don't put on lipstick, and don't make up your hair, and don't put on a nice dress, look like a slob, and he won't look at you. He wants a good-looking girl. He's not going to be interested in an ugly girl. So make sure you don't look good. The Gemara has such a din when a single girl is sitting shiva, so she has to dress up because someone may come to be Menachem Oval and they'll see that she's not good looking because she doesn't have on lipstick and so on. So she may lose an opportunity of a shidduch. So Yaakov Avinu, what do you have to put her in a box? That was quite an exaggeration. So if a person exaggerates, then sometimes the effect will be just the opposite from what he wanted. A lot of times people like to be machmer chumris in halacha. The chumris have to have a mahalach also. The Shulchan Aruch says bal nefesh. A lot of times the Mishnah Berurah will say bal nefesh yachmer al atzmo. a person has to be a bal nefesh. It's not for every Tom, Dick, and Harry to be machmer. They say that Rabbi Amital used to talk about that. I never heard it from him, but they say that's what he would say. When he was a Talmud learning in Merkaz Harav, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, so he said when they learned Mishnah Brura, and it says, Bal Nefesh Achmar Latzma, they thought, oh, that refers to the Nazir. The Nazir was a Bal Nefesh Achmar Latzma. But it doesn't refer to me. He says, now we live in a generation. Every yeshiva bocha, a teenager who learned Mishnah Brura, oh, Bal Nefesh, that's me. You're not a Bal Nefesh, you're not on the Madrega yet. The Gemara in Saita talks about a woman who's dressed with a fancy chasana dress, all dressed up, and then she puts on jewelry that enhances her good looks. She'll even look better. But if a woman is just wearing a nightgown or pajamas, then she puts on jewelry, so it makes her look ridiculous. It doesn't fit in. The chumras are like jewelry. So if a person is medaktik and all the mitzvahs that come his way, then it makes sense. He adds amidas chasidus to be machman something. But if the person is not careful, he talks lashon hara, he's not so medaktik and ben adam lachavera, he's not so careful about this, but that doesn't always stop in tefillah b'tzibur. But all of a sudden, he has a chumra from left field. How does it fill in? It doesn't fit in with everything else that he does. It's like the woman is wearing pajamas and she puts on jewelry. It looks funny. The chumra doesn't fit for him. He's not a bal nefesh yachmar latzma. You have to be careful, and chinuch habonim also, not to exaggerate. We live in a generation, a lot of people are afraid that children will become apikursim if they go to university. So they tell the children, don't go to university, the goyim are stupid, everything they have to say is stupid, there's nothing to learn. Then the children associate, we don't live in isolation. The children associate with others, and they hear that those who go to university, graduate school, they have big chachmas. Chazal say chachman b'goyim tamin. So they see that what their parents told them is shekel v'chazav, then they throw everything out. They throw out also about the tzitzis and tefillin and kriyas shema and all the mitzvahs ha-Torah, because a part of what their parents told them is shekel. So they assume batel mitzvos batel kula, everything is shekel. Or some of the satmara have such a hatred towards Eretz Yisrael, they transmit it to their children. So they say such crazy things about Eretz Yisrael, then the children find out it's not true. A lot of the things the parents told them at Eretz Yisrael is not true. So they throw out everything. Not only what the parents' position was about Eretz Yisrael, Medina Yisrael, they throw out what the parents said about the tzitzit and tefillin and Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpach. Everything is shekel. You have to be careful. We have the mitzvah of Gid HaNoshen today, Sedra. In the parsha, it's a little unclear who was it. Vayovi Kishima doesn't say who it was, but in the Haftarah from Hosea, it says, also in the parsha, you can't really tell who won the fight. Whether the Vayovik Ishimo, the Ishimo broke his leg. So who won the fight is unclear. But in the Haftarah it says he was fighting with a Malach. And it doesn't say who the Malach was. That the Medrash says, but it was the Malach of Esav, Sarash al-Edom, and that Yankov Avinu won the fight. What does it represent? That Yankov fights with a Malach and he wins the battle. So the Radak writes in his commentary on Novi that Malachim represent Teva, the Gemara has a Lashon Echulin. Ein l'cho kalesa v'yesa melamato, shein lo malach melamayla ha-mako esa ve'omalo gadel. The Malachim, they're different kinds of Malachim. So Malachim represent Teva. The Malachim see to it that the Olam kim in hagen noig, that Teva should continue. So the Jewish people, when they come in conflict with the Teva, so the Jewish people are lemaila min ha-Teva. We survive. We have Yankov Avinu, the Malach broke his leg. Okay, he was limping, but Yankov basically won the battle. So the Jewish people throughout all the centuries, we lost, there were many pogroms, we lost many lives, but we survived. In the end, we survived. So that's what it represents. Yankov Avinu represents Klal Yisrael, the Malach represents Teva. It means whenever there's a conflict between the Jewish people, a Jewish nation, and Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael is Lemaila Min HaTeva. That's what it means. E Mazal Yisrael, the Jewish people as a nation, is not Tachas Shlitas HaKachovim VaHamazolos, means on the Teva. We are Lemaila Min HaTeva. So the mitzvah of Gid HaNoshe, Alkein LeYochem and Yisrael is Gid HaNoshe. We don't need Gid HaNoshe to remember this important klal, the klal is lemaila min ha-teva. When was the mitzvah Gid HaNoshe given? So the pashtus and the gemara in Chulin is that it's a machlekes of Yudah Nachachamim. Machlokes HaTanaim, where the Gid Anasha was only given after Matan Torah. It wasn't given in Parshas Vayishlach. So why is it written here? It should be written after Maimon HaSinai. It's written here. We should know the historical background, what the mitzvah is supposed to represent. And the other opinion is no, that the mitzvah was given at and it was given to Bnei Noach, means it was given to Yankov Haban. It wasn't given to the non-Jews, it was given to Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael means the Jewish nation, or Bnei Yisrael means the children of Yankov Avinu. So the other opinion is it was given to Yankov Avinu on this occasion. What's the difference, halacha l'maisa, whether it was given to Yankov Avinu? The historical machlokes, where the Gid Anasha began from the days of Yankov Avinu, after Matan Torah. So the Gemara has, the Mishnah has a machlokes for Yehuda and Rabbanon, whether the Issa Gid Anasha is noig bebehem betemeya. Does it only apply if the animal is kosher? Does it even apply if the animal is not kosher? So if you hold that Gid Anasha was given to Yankov Avinu, they weren't obligated to keep kashrus yet. Kashrus is only given later. So initially, Gid Anasha applied even to a behemoth tmeya. And then after Maimon HaSinai, once it was given from the days of Yankov Avinu, then even after Matan Torah, the Pashtus and the Chumash of the Gid Anasha should only apply to a kosher animal. Where you can eat the rest of the animal, can't eat the Gid Anasha, but it shouldn't apply to a non-kosher animal. The whole animal you're not allowed to eat. So what do you mean you're not allowed to eat the Gid Anasha? So the Gemara says it depends. If your Gid Anasha was given to Yankov Avinu at that time, it applied even to Behemoth Tmeah. So even today also it applies even to Behemoth Tmeah. But if you hold that Gid Anasha wasn't given until after Matan Torah, so then the Pashta says it was only given with respect to kosher animals. It doesn't apply to a non-kosher animal. Shlomo Levilna has a long essay in the beginning of his Tshuvas Binyan Shlomo. He has, in the beginning, he has Dibre Torah on Parshios that he wrote on the margin of his Chumash. I don't know how big the margin must have been. He has long, long essays. Goes on and on. So he has an interesting comment. Why does it have a Ken Leochman is Gid Anasha? Adayem Azeh. What does it mean, Adayem Azeh? So he has a suggestion. Maybe what it means is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that Gid Anasha was given Koyde Matan Torah, and it even applied to a non-kosher animal. So even after Gid Anasha, it still continues to apply even to the non-kosher animals. And maybe that's what it means, Adayem Azeh. The din didn't change, even though it should have changed, perhaps. After Matan Torah, the din should no longer apply to a non-kosher animal. But since it was originally given to Yankov Avinu, so it still applies Bizman Hazeh, even to a behemoth tmeya. Yeah, but we don't accept that opinion. We paskin that it was only given to at Har Sinai, that it does not apply to a behemoth tmeya. The Rambam in Perek Tes in Hilchas Malochim gives you the whole history of the development of the mitzvahs. He says, initially, Adam HaRishon was given six mitzvahs. He was not given the din of Eiv Menachai because he wasn't permitted to eat meat at all. He was only allowed to eat the fruits and vegetables. The hetter to eat meat only began after the Mabul. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Noach permission to eat Ki'er Kesev Nesak Lechem Es Kol. And at that time, when he was allowed to eat the meat, then he was given the din of Eiv Menachai. So the Rambam gives you the whole historical background. There were six mitzvahs were given to Adam HaRishon. The seventh mitzvah of Eiv Menachai was given to Noach after the Mabul. And then Avraham Avinu was given the mitzvah of Milah. And he instituted davening shachris. Yitzchak Avinu observed hafroshes maisris. Because the Rambam is quoting a Bereshis Rabbah. Yitzchak was mafresh maisris, as it says that when Yitzchak, when there was a famine during the lifetime of Yitzchak, there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and Yitzchak was going to follow in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu, was going to go down to Mitzrayim. So he started to go to Gror, Avimelech, and Eretz Plishtim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me, you're not allowed to go to Chutz Loretz. Your father went here, but you were an Oyla Tmima, you're not allowed to go, so you have to stay here. So it says, Vayizah Yitzchak Baratz Ahi. He planted that year, even though it was a year of famine, and even though it wasn't Eretz itself proper, it was only Eretz Plishtim, Vayimtzo Me'er Shorim. And it turned out that he had 100 times as much as what he expected. What do you mean, what he expected? Why people who plant, all the farmers make a whole calculation of how much they think is going to grow. So Rashi quotes the Medrash. That's the Medrash that the Rambam is quoting. Rashi quotes the Medrash. He made an approximation for the purpose of being Mafrish Maestris. Yitzchak Yifrish Maestris. So he was guessing how much Maisa is going to have to be mavshe, and it turned out it was 100 times as much as what he thought. So you see that Yitzchak had an additional mitzvah, Yitzchak Kifish Maisvis, and Yaakov observed the din of Gidon Noshim. So the Lecha Mishnah, the Kesa Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, they ask on this Ramam in Perikdes in Hilchas Malochim, but the Ramam contradicts himself in Hilchas Macholas Asuras. We paskan against Rabbi Yehuda. We paskan that Gidon Noshim wasn't given till after Matan Torah. It wasn't given before, and that's why it only applies to Behemoth Torah. It does not apply to a Behemoth Tameah. So how come the Ramam writes over here that Yaakov Avinu was given the din of Gidon Noshim? So they interpret it, the Kesa Mishnah, Lecha Mishnah, interpret the Rambam. Rabbi Shlomo Levon quotes all of this in the beginning of his Sefer, and he has the comments on Rashi Ala, Pirish Rashi Ala Torah. So he quotes all this, and he goes along. He says that the Yitzchak, it says Avram Avinu was Nitztava Ala Mila. Yitzchak Kifish Maisus doesn't say he was Nitztava on Maisus. He did on his own. Just like Avram was Tiken Shachris, Yitzchak Tiken Mincha, and Yankov was Tiken Maiv, that was on his own. So Yitzchak Kifish Maisus was on his own. And then the Rambam doesn't say that Yankov Avinu was Nitztava in Gidon Noshim. He says he and his children didn't eat Gidon Noshim. That was voluntary. But the Tzibur was only given after Matan Torah. That's how the that's how Shlomo Levin quotes from the Kesa Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah on Perek Tes and Hilchas Malach. The Pashtus is like the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Perek Gidon Noshim. It's surprising that that they didn't quote that. The Rambam says all the Tanoim agree the Gidon Noshim was given to Yaakov Avinu on this occasion. Akein Lech Menei says Gidon Noshim they went to Tzitzah then. The Machlokes HaTanaim is, why is that din still binding Bizman HaZeh? Says we don't need Gidon Noshim out of Yayim HaZeh. Why is that? So Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, that's the Shita that we don't accept. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that a mitzvah that was Avram Avinu was given the mitzvah of Mila, we still observe Mila today because Avram was Nitztave. And Yaakov Avinu was Nitztave, not to eat Gidon Noshim. We still today observe the din of Gidon Noshim because it was given to Yaakov Avinu. And we don't, the Rambam says, and we don't paskin like that. We paskin the only Nabi whose mitzvahs are binding the Doris is Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the concluding pasuk in Chumash Vayikra, as well as the concluding pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar. It's practically identical with slight shinuyim. The Netziv in his commentary on Chumash explains why the slight shinuyim. The pasuk is, Eilah mitzvahs v'achukim v'amishpat Moshe tziv Hashem es Moshe. And the Gemara has on the first half and begin and mikan she'novir lo shalachadish dover miata. The mitzvahs that are binding the doris are only those that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's exactly the definition of a novi. The other nevim give hayru ashur. So the Rambam adds on there in the Pirush HaMishnah is that the fact that we still today observe the mitzvah of Mila is not because it was given to Avram Avinu. We usually assume that's why you say the bracha lachnis bebisu shal Avram Avinu. Why do we say that? Because we observe the mitzvah bris milah because it was given to Avraham Avinu. So the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnah says it's not true that we observe the mitzvah today because it was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. No Navi, not before Moshe Rabbeinu, not after Moshe Rabbeinu, has a say, can tell us a din of Torah. Torah is noig l'doros. The din of Torah noig l'doros. That's the pashtus. Rav Shlomo Levon has a very strange comment on this pasuk. What is the Arayay Mazet? I can't leach when he says Arayay Mazet. So he quotes, this is a chunk of Jewish history. He quotes a passage from the Zohar and the Yishlach that the Shin Samachay, the Ramach Mitzvah says in Shin Samachay Labin. So the Zohar says that the Shin Samachay, the Gemara says, the Shin Samachay Labin, correspond to the Ramach Evorim in Shasai Gidin. So one of the Gidin is the Gidon Noshim. So the Zohar says that the Shasai Gidin, the Shasai Mitzvah Slash says they correspond to the Shin Samachay days and the solar calendar, 365 days. And the Gidon Noshim corresponds to the day of Tisha B'Av when the Umas Olam have Shlita over the Jewish people. That Malach broke Yaakov Avinu's leg and he was limping. So the Umas Olam had Shlit and they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. And Lasid Lavoi, so Rav Shlomo Levin adds on, and Lasid Lavoi, when Mashiach will come and the third Beis Hamikdash will be built and whatever aver we did will be nisaken, and the Umas HaOlam won't have shlita anymore, so there won't be any more Tisha B'Av, so then Gid Anasha will be mutter. We usually assume not so. We usually assume that if you have a mitzvah that's noig l'doris, l'doris means even l'mos HaMashiach. It's not going to change after l'mos HaMashiach. So he suggests maybe that's what it means. Ad HaYom HaZeh means not Ad HaYom HaHu, Ad HaYom HaBo. HaYom HaHu, HaYom HaBo in Tanakh, that's referring to after Mashiach comes. But here it says, Ad HaYom HaZeh, the day that we're reading the Sefer Torah. By HaYom HaHu, we will no longer observe the mitzvah of Gid Anashim. That's what they say. That after Shabbosai Tzvi declared himself as Mashiach, and he had so many followers, he still has followers. Shabbosai Tzvi still has followers. Even after he converted to Islam, even after they killed him, there's still Jews in Turkey, certain parts of the world, but they still believe that Shabbosai Tzvi is the Melech HaMashiach. After all that, after all these centuries. So the Hasidim, the followers of Shabbosai Tzvi, were demonstrating that Mashiach came already, so they were eating Gid Anashim. So that's what they already understood, like Rav Shlomo Levilner, based on this passage in the Zohar, that the Moshe corresponds to Shin Samache, one of the Shin Samache Gidin is the Gid Anoshe, and one of the Shin Samache days of the solar year is Tisha B'Av, so the Gid Anoshe corresponds to Tisha B'Av. And when Mashiach comes, we won't observe Tisha B'Av anymore, so we won't observe Gid Anoshe anymore.
Is this some kind of a medrash that Lossad Lovoy Chazer is going to become taller?
Yeah, the Medrash says, "Lamande kishmo chazir sasa kadosh baruch hu lachzir li Yisrael." So I think I mentioned a few weeks ago that the Rishonim who wrote, what's the name? What's again the name of the Sefer? I forgot. There's a Sefer that has a collection of all the correspondence that the Rishonim had, the Rashba, the Rosh, and the Meiri, about the Cherem and the Mor and the Vuchim.
I forgot the name.
Minchas Kenaos. So in the Hakdama to the Minchas Kenaos, the one who made this whole collection talks about that Medrash. How can it be? But we assume that all the mitzvahs are binding L'doris. So how can it be that Lossad Lovoy Chazir will be Mutter? So he said it doesn't mean we'll be permitted to eat pork. Chazir represents Esav and represents Malchus Edom. Lossad HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chazir L'Yisrael means that the Malchus will be given to a Jewish Melech HaMashiach. The Christians won't be dominating the world anymore. The Jews will be ruling the world. Other Rishonim interpret, Osar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazir L'Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will change Teva, and the Chazir will have not only Mafis Parsa, it'll even have Malagir. That's what some Rishonim say. But the one who put out the Minchas Kenaos interprets that Chazir represents the Christians, and Chazir L'Yisrael means he'll give back the Malchus to Yisrael. Because the Rambam writes, this is one of the Ikori Hamunim. That's the question. How did the Rambam decide which are Ikori Hamunim? They once asked the Chassam Sofer, how many Ikori Hamunim are there? So he said 613. Every mitzvah there is an Ikori Hamunim. So Taka, why? Why did the Rambam single out 13 Ikori Hamunim? So some say, I think they said the name Rab Chaim, that if a person never heard of Shiluach Haka and a person never heard of Gid Anoshe, most people never heard of Gid Anoshe. Gid Anoshe is taken care of in the slaughterhouse or in the butcher shop. We don't know about Gid Anoshe. And now people don't know about salting meat. My mother used to salt the meat all the time. Now the children never saw it. The mother salting the meat. They take care of it in the butcher shop. So they say in Eber Abchaim, I think, that if a person never heard of Gid Anoshe, he never heard of the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, so he's an Amharetz. But if a person is not familiar, he just never heard of one of the Ikori Hamunah, then we call him an Apikoris, even though it's B'shoigig, an Apikoris Dinakak. But if a person is ignorant of one of the mitzvahs, he's an Amoritz. You don't call him an Apikoris, that it should be Dinakakum. But the others say, well, how did the Rama, I think Rav Soloveitchik may have once said, how did the Rama decide what to count as an Ikori Hamunah? So I think others say, whatever historically there was a big fight about, like many don't believe in a Bari Olam. They believe that the world was always there. There was not. So we believe in a Bari Olam. And then the Catholics believe in the Trinity, and many other religions believe in multiple gods. So we believe in Yichud Hashem, only one God. We believe in Hashgacha Pratis because other religions didn't accept. So that's what the Rambam counts as an Ikar Amun. The laws of the Torah will never change. Because the Christians and the Muslims say that since Osa Huish came on the scene And since Muhammad came on the scene, so the laws of the Torah are no longer binding. They said, Baruch HaKadosh, the laws are no longer binding. So that's why the Rambam counts that as an Iker and Emunah, because that was a big historical debate when we were fighting against the Christians. The Gemara says that Iker Adin, only the Gidon Nasha, only that part of the Gidon Nasha that goes Al Kaf HaYerech is Aser. The rest of the Gidon Nasha is Mutam and HaTorah. It's also awesome in the Rabbanon. And the Shuman Agid is also not awesome in the Torah. Poshe Pshat and the Gemara, we usually assume that the Shuman Agid is awesome in the Rabbanon. And there's a machlokes of Rishonim. Why did the Chachamim prohibit it? Did they ask the Shuman Agid as a gzera otu chelev? Or did they ask the Shuman Agid as a gzera otu gidon nasha? If you'll allow people to eat Shuman Agid, you're afraid to eat chelev, or you're afraid to eat a Shuman Agid? Is there any difference halacha l'maisa? So Tosfos has a difference. Tosfos says there's a machlokes hatanam. We paskin ein begidin b'nos in tam. So if by mistake you cook the gidon nasha in a pot of soup, you don't eat shishim, and you take out the gidon nasha. So the question is, but tam ki ikar, maybe it gave nesinus tam into the pot. So we say ein begidin b'nos in tam. How could it be a machlokes hatanam? The other tana holds yesh begidin b'nos in tam machlokes mitzias. Very strange. Usually we assume, like the Ramban quoted from the Talmud Yerushalmi, by Hafrosh Haschala, Machlekes HaTanam, Rabdecha Menurei Nachachamim, have a Machlekes, but the Oriz V'dechen, is Chai B'chal, is it Boli De'chimetz, or is it Boli De'sirchon? So the Ramban in Eilu Treifas, the beginning of Eilu Treifas, on the first daf, quotes the Yerushalmi, in Chala, who asked Akasha, how can you have a Machlekes in Metzias? Why don't they experiment and find out whether the Oriz V'dechon is Boli Dechimetz or not? The Rishalmi says they did experiment, and it turned out to be something in between Chimetz and Sirchon, and they had the Machlekes HaTanaim, where do you draw the line? What's considered Chimetz and what's considered Sirchon? But in the Yeshivas, everybody assumes like that Ramban, like the Ramban's Yerushalmi. It does make sense to have a Machlekes HaTanaim in Metzias. So what's over here? Machlekes, where they get on Asher, Yesh Begidin Menais and Tam, Ein Begidin Menais and Tam. So I think my impression is, it certainly is nice and tam. It changes the flavor of everything, and it changes l'shvach. If it's going to be nice and tam levgam, so we pass nice and tam levgam as mutter. If I take out the gidon nasha and it just gave the sinas tam, and the soup would have tasted better without the flavor of the gidon nasha, so nice and tam levgam is mutter. So obviously it's nice and tam l'shvach. Obviously it is nice and tam l'shvach. However, the pashtus is that the din of tam ki ikar only applies in macholas asuras. Let's say I'm sitting in front of, a computer. I think you call this a computer, the thing that has the internet on it. So let's say the computer is an avodah zarah. Someone worships the computer. He deifies it. He prays to the computer. So the computer is also b'ano. And then he's cooking soup one day, and part of the computer, part of the metal is dipping into the soup, and it's yatzo lettuce, and it gives an asinus tam. And it turns out that the soup tastes better because of the computer was sticking there, because of the metal. The metal gave an asinus tam l'shvach, and it tastes better. So would you say tam ki ikar and avodah zarah? So the pashta says that tam ki ikar only applies by macholas asuras. Avodah zarah is also bahano. If someone deifies a chocolate cake and he eats it, so eating it, achila is a form of hanoah, but it's not achila b'toras achila. It's achila is also b'toras hanoah. Tam ki ikar, the pashtus is only applies if the thing is macholas asuras. If the din of avodah zarah, there's not separate din of avodah zarah if you deify chocolate cake. It's also b'achila. No, whether you worship a totem pole or you worship a computer or you worship a chocolate cake, it's all the same thing. Avodah zarah is also b'hanoah. Achila is one form of hanoah, but it's not from the list of macholas asuras. So that's the shaila, that's the machlokes hatanaim. Does gidon nasha, does it have the status like oichel? Does it have the status of basar? The one time holds yesh begin meres and tam is dina kibasar. It's part of the flesh, and it tastes good enough that it's dina kibasar. When the Torah prohibits us from eating gidon nasha, it's asa b'achila. The other tana says, no, it's not dina kibasar. It's not really roi l'achila. And achanami, if you cook it in a pot of soup, it will enhance the flavor of the soup. It will give them sinus tam. But because it's not dina kibasar, so it's also to swallow it down your throat, but it's not also b'teres achila. If it's not really roi l'achila, if it's not dina kibasar, the Torah has a lot of isurim. You're not allowed to wear shatnas. That's not Macholas Asura. So the Torah says you're not allowed to swallow Gid HaNosha down your throat, but you can't call it Maisa Achila. It's not Achila because it's not really an Oichel.
So well, it should be different than bones, let's say.
And Achanami, yeah. Bones are not Etzem Sheish Bo Moach. The Moach Shebetoch Etzem is Dina Kibosa. The Moach Shebetoch Etzem, but the Etzem itself is not Dina Kibosa. Kanaim, Tofim, let's say the horns of an animal or the hooves of the animal. It's not Dina Kibosa. Midirabbanon, since it's part of the animal, so Midirabbanon, when the Rambam is, probably the Gemara is like that. The Gemara says if you cook Kanaim Gidim Tlofim and Atzomis with milk, so it's you're not allowed to do it Midirabbanon. But Midatorah, it's Mutta because it's not Dina Kibosa. So the same thing, the Gid HaNosha is a machlokes, but it's Dina Kibosa. So if you're all Dina Kibosa, so then it's Macholas Asuris. Macholas Asuris. So if it enhances the flavor of the soup, so then it'll be a din of Tam Kiyika. But if you hold that Ein Begidden, if you hold Ein Begidden Menos and Tam means it's not Dina Kibosa. The Gemara puts the two together. Is it Dina Kibosa? Is it Yesh Begidden Menos and Tam? So if you hold not Dina Kibosa, so it's also, you can't say it's also, Tosis says part of this. You can't say it's osa bachila. It's not Michael. It's also to swallow it down your throat, like it's also to go on a, to sit on a wagon that's pulled by kelaim. It's also to wish a lot of isurim. Not everything is macholas asuris. So even though this is an isa, not to swallow it, you can't call it macholas asuris. If it's not macholas asuris, then there's no din of tam ki ikim. There is a machloikas arishan, there's a chuvas aran, where the Ran quotes three machloikas arishanim, and he shows that the Toli Zebizeh, he explains. There's one machloik by Bishalakum. The Chachamim prohibited Bishalakum because it may lead to intermarriage. The Yasid, Bishalakum, Pasakum, and Stam Yenum, all because it may lead to intermarriage. So do we say that's what motivated the Chachamim to prohibit Bishalakum? But once they instituted the prohibition, it's called Macholas Asura. So they say no. Eating bishalakam is a form of hiskarus with the nochrim. It's like dancing with the nochris, like kissing a nochris, because it may lead to intermarriage. So eating bishalakam is not macholas asuris, but it's rather a form of hiskarus with the nochris. So what's a nafkamina? So the Ran and the Tshuva gives three nafkaminas. So one nafkamina is, if it's macholas asuris midirabbanan, then you need shishim. If it's not macholas asuris, then it's bottled beraif. Number two, if it's Macholas Asuris and there's a din of Tam Kiyika only applies to Macholas Asuris, then the din is if a goy cooked Bishalakum in a Jewish pot, then you have to kasha the pot, you need Hagola. But the way we paskin la aloche that Bishalakum is bottled bereiv, you don't need Shishim because it's not Macholas Asuris. So the din, it should have been, the din should have been that you don't need Hagola. If the goy cooked kosher food in my pot, so if you eat the kosher, if you eat that food, you eat the bishalakam, it's an act of his karvus with the nochri. But you don't have to, you shouldn't have to kasha the pot. That's a machlokes harishonim. And the Mechaber leaves it as a sveka de dina. And then the third nafkamina is what if a nochri cooked bisha for some food, shlish bishulo. So the Gemara says if the nochri cooked it, kamachal ben derisoi becomes prohibited because of bishalakam. Then a Jew takes it and he continues to cook it till it's mevushal kol tzarkei. The Nochri broiled steak, only rare done. Then the Jew takes the steak and he does it well done. So there's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. If it's machol, the Ran explains in the Tshuva, if it's macholas asuris, we have a klal, treif einach hazeres lachshera. If something became macholas asuris, it can't become chozer lehetera. So if you would have held like those shittas, that bishalakum, what motivated the Chachamim, the motivation to make the Yisr was it may lead to intermarriage. But Lamaisa, they declared it as Macholas Asuris, then it wouldn't help if the Yisrael is going to cook it later. But we pass in the Shulchan Aruch lo hakel. If the Nochri cooked the food shlish bishulo, and it was also at that time, it was also to eat it, mitam bishalakum, then the Jew continues to cook it until it's mevushal kol tzarkei, then it becomes mutter. Why? Because it's not Macholas Asuris. So that's a pella. That's a pella. How come we paskin by the bishul akum? We're machmer on hagola. We paskin. You don't need shishim. Reib is enough. If you don't need shishim, means you don't apply tam ki ikar. If you don't apply tam ki ikar, why do you have to kasha the kli? You're not eating the bishul akum. Kasha and kalim is the basis of the din of tam ki ikar. One Tana says, where do you know that there's a din of tam kika deraisa from geulei klei midyan? So if there's no, if you don't need shishim by we paskin la halacha, you don't need shishim by bishul akum, so you shouldn't need hagola. So that's a pella. Why? Why we're machmer on that? There's an answer, but you have to know yeridaya to know the answer. Anyway, so that's so there's a. We pass on aloha the aim begin with ice and dam and get on us. You don't need shishim. It doesn't ask. So the shad is, what about Shuman Hagid? So Taisus has one opinion that since Shuman Hagid is awesome, the Rabbanon, Yogzero, Otu Gid, so even though the Shuman Hagid is schmaltzy, it has a good flavor, so he has it in the Sinas Tam. But since Shuman Hagid is Yogzero, Otu Gid, and Gid is aim begin with ice and dam, so you don't have to be a machman the Shuman Hagid more than the Gid itself. That's one opinion of Taisus. We don't accept that opinion. Shulchan Aruch, we pass on like the Rambam, Nachabe pass on like the Rambam, that even though Gid Anosha ain't the Gid Menos and Tam, but the Shuman Agid does Asa. It doesn't necessarily prove that it's a Gzeira Otu Chelev. Could be it's a Gzeira Otu Gid, but you don't hold from this Svara. Just because the Gid does Nasa, the Shuman Agid doesn't necessarily also have to be the same that it does Nasa. There may be an Afkamina. What about Shuman Agid and Achaya? Chelev is only Asa and a Behemah. So if Shuman Agid is also Otu Chelev, maybe it should only apply to Behemah, not to Achaya. It's also because of Otu Gid, then it should apply even to Achaya. So this is a discussion in Poskim, and some Rishonim talk about it beferish. Some say it's Otu Gid, and some say it's Otu Chelev. Different opinions in the Rishonim. There's a very interesting, Rav Gustman has several volumes of Kuntresi Shiurim. He published his beautiful Shiurim. He was very famous for his Shiurim. So the end of the kuntres on the end of the volume on kiddushin as a tshuva halacha lemaisa. What's the din? If a woman, a married woman, is unable to have children because her period is short, and she has to wait, when she becomes a nida, so minatara nida does need shivinakim. Only a zava needs shivinakim. So the din of shivinakim is only midirabbanan. So what's the din if the couple can't have children because of the Shiva Nikim? If she won't observe the Shiva Nikim, then she'll be able to become pregnant. So what's the din in such a case? So he explains that sometimes the Shiva Nikim is a real din with the Rabban, and sometimes it's only a minik. So he says in the rare case, it's a very rare, in the rare case that the need for Shiva Nikim is only a minhag, then he has a Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam and Hilchas Korban Pesach, whenever observance of a minig is in conflict with the real din, then you don't have to observe the minig. Then you can violate the minig. Why? Because the Rambam writes like this: when you broil the Korban Pesach, it says in Chumash Rosh al Krov al Kirboi, you have to broil the whole Korban Pesach in one unit. You shouldn't slice it up into lamb chops and broil each lamb chop individually. You have to broil the whole thing together. So the Rambam says, you first have to remove all the chelev. The chelev you burn on the mizbech. And if you're going to broil the Korban Pesach with the chelev, the haktar seimurim is not miyakeh, but if you broil the Korban Pesach with the chelev, it'll become treif. It'll be nice and tam. It'll make the whole Korban Pesach treif. So the Rambam says you have to cut out the chelev with the chute chelev. You have to cut out the chute dam. You have to cut out the big... You see, when you salt meat, you succeed in getting the dam out from the capillaries. The same thing when you broil meat, you get out the dam from the capillaries. But the dam that's in the big arteries or the vein, the big veins, that's not going to come out by salting. That you have to yank out the big veins and the big arteries, and then the salting or the broiling will remove the dam from the capillaries. So the Rambam writes that before you broil the Korban Pesach, you have to remove the chute chelev and the chute dam. And then you broil the Korban Pesach. And then after you broil the Korban Pesach, then you cut out the Gid Anoshe. And you throw it out in the garbage. So the Ravid writes a Hasoga on the Rambam. The Ravid has this style of writing, sharp style. So he says, if I would be there in the Beis HaMikdash, and this person, the Rambam, would bring his Korban Pesach, I would throw it on the floor. Hayisi chofte lefona bekarka. Throw it on the floor. I tell him, what are you, crazy? You made a treif. You broil the Korban Pesach with the Gid Anash. You just made a treif. You can't eat the whole Korban Pesach. So what's Taka Pella? Just like the Rambam requires, you have to yank out the chute chelev and the chute dam before you brought the korban pesach, not to make a treif. So you should have said you should remove the gin on Asher. So the Kesem Mishnah comes to defend the Rambam. So he says, since the din is ein begidim reis and tamsa b'di'evit, if you broil the korban pesach with the gidon asher, the korban pesach will not become treif, because gidon asher doesn't have, there's no din of tam kikar on the gidon asher. But why do you do it l'chatchila like that? So he said, because there's a mitzvah, rosh al krov al kirbay. The mitzvah is to broil the whole korban pesach when it's all intact, before you start cutting it up into little pieces. So by the chutei chelev and the chutei dam, you have no choice. If you'll broil it intact, you'll make the whole thing treif. So you have to, the Rambam requires, you have to remove the chutei chelev and dam before you broil it. But since the Gidon Asher won't ask it because they begin menos and dam, so it's preferable to leave it in until after you broil it. So you fulfill the din. Rosh al krov al kirba, the whole korban pesach is broiled in one piece when it's all intact. I, the Kesem Mishnah, ask, what about the shuman agid? And the Rambam doesn't hold like that opinion in Tosfos and Perigid Anoshe, that since the Shuman Agid was Nigza Otu Gid, so just like Gid does Nasa, so Shuman Agid also does Nasa. The Rambam doesn't hold like that. The Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, Shuman Agid does Asa. So the Kesem Mishnah has a Chiddush, and the Prima Gadim quotes it La'alocha. The Kesem Mishnah has a Chiddush. He says, when you read the Gemara, Perigid Anoshe, the Gemara says, the Shuman Agid is Mutam and HaTorah. It doesn't say the Yasid men the Rabbanim. It says, Yisrael Kidoshim Nogabo Isa. The holy Jewish people, Nogabo Isa, they introduced a minig, not to eat the Shuman Agid. So he says, it's not even a din the Rabbanim, it's only a minig. That's a chiddush. That's already a chiddush. That's the Lashon HaGemara. So the Kesem Mishnah says, that's what it means. Yisrael Kidoshim Nogabo Isa, it's only a minig. So whenever a minig comes in conflict with a real din, then you have to observe the real din. You don't observe the minig. So that's what the Kesem Mishnah says. All year long, we observe the minig not to eat Shuman Agid. One day in the year, all the Jews in the world eat Shuman Agid. Leil Pesach. When you eat the Korban Pesach, because the Rambam says you have to broil the Korban Pesach all intact, Rosh Hu Al-Krov Al-Kirba. So everybody violates the minig of eating Shuman Agid. Because whenever a minig, that's the klal. Whenever the minig comes in conflict with the real din, you have to observe the real din. The Netziv has such a tshuva also. He comments on the Gemara. What do you say?
Isn't the Dam Shabishloi Midrabanan also?
Yes.
A real din. Actually, there's one of the ways of removing them.
But that's also Midrabanan. Dam Shabishloi is also Midrabanan. So that we don't allow.
I was just not a minute. Yes, but isn't Tzliya one of the ways of removing them?
Tzliya, yeah, just like salting removes dam from the capillaries, so it's right. Also does.
So why do you have to remove the?
But it doesn't take out so from the big arteries and the big veins. Uh-huh. It's not good enough. Salting is not good enough broiling. You have to yank out the veins and the arteries. The blood and the capillaries will come out by salting or by broiling. Yeah, I think so. That's the deal. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. So there is a Gemara in the beginning of Brachos. Sounds like an Agadita. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Misha Roga Lova LeBeis HaKnesses, a person is in the practice of davening in shul every day, and one day he doesn't come, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoyal all of it. The Baruch Shalom comes to shul, and he asks, how come Yankel is not here today? So the Gemara says, it depends, why didn't he show up in Minyan? Why didn't he daven Mitzvah? So if it's Lidvar Hoshus, if he went for his own purposes, and he missed the Minyan, then he'll be punished for not davening in the minyan. But if he went to Dvar Mitzvah, then it's okay. The fact that he didn't daven b'tziv. So the Netziv interprets Haroga Lova LeBeis HaKnesses. He says that davening b'tzibur is not really a chiyuv. Davening b'tzibur is a minig, he thinks. Haroga Lova LeBeis HaKnesses, that the person is in the practice, if you do the same thing three times in a row, so you develop it as a minig tois. A minig tois binding mid the rabbanim mitam neder. So if a person is rogel over the beis haknesses, he has such a minig, so that's binding mitam minig. So then, if he doesn't fulfill the minig, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ask, how come? If he didn't daven a minig because of some other mitzvah, so whenever the minig is in conflict with a real din, then you have to observe the din. Even if the real din is only a din of the Rabbanah. So that's what the Netziv has the same. There's a shadow that's a shaving in sphere. So not to shave in Sfira, not to shave in 3 weeks. These are all minhagim. It's not a real din. But to enter Shabbos to look like a slob, that's a real din. That's kibud v'yonik. So the pashtus is in Baltimore Yeshiva, they had the practice for many years that they didn't shave in Sfira and they didn't shave in the 3 weeks, but for Shabbos they did. That's the Mashgiach introduced it years ago. Now the minhag changed. Mashgiach passed away a long time ago. So now the minhag changed, and they don't shave for Shabbos. But L'chore, it should have been like that. Whenever a minhag is in conflict with the real din, so we should say that you have to observe the real din. So that's where Rav Gusman has, that sometimes the requirement for Shiva Nikim is deraisa, azava, sometimes midirabanan, if Rosh Gimel Yamim, even though it's not below Esnidos, and sometimes it's only a minig. But I said, Lachmira Latzman, even the man says it's only a minig. So if it's only a minig, then he says there's room to be makel, that B'maka Mitzvah Spirit Rivia, she shouldn't require the Shiva Nikim.
Is Rebbe saying it's not always a minog because of Takanat Rebbe?
Yes. Takanas Rebbe is a real din de Rabbanan. But it's only tipas dam kechardos, not 3 days in a row. It's only 1 or 2 days in a row. Then it's only a minig. So whenever it's a minig, then he's prepared to be makel. Right. There's a famous Tosis Yontif, where the Tosis Yontif says that somebody asked him, Akasha, how come the Jewish people keep on praying for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Chagas Chai Malachi, with the three prophets who were involved in the building of the second Beis HaMikdash? And I think in Chagai it says, Godli Yekvora Bais HaZeh HaAchron Min HaRishon. Second Beis HaMikdash is referred to as the Achron, the last. So if it's the last Beis HaMikdash, it means that there isn't going to be another Beis HaMikdash after it. So that's what someone asked the Tosis Yontif. So he answered that in biblical Hebrew, the word Achron doesn't have the same meaning as it has in modern Hebrew. Modern Hebrew always means the last. Biblical Hebrew sometimes means the last, but sometimes means the latter. So he quotes the Pasuk from today's Sedra. It says that when Yankov was approaching Esav, it says he took Shtei HaShvachas Rishayna, Leah v'yaladeho Achronim, v'Rachel v'yaladeho Achronim. So what do you mean, Rachel v'yaladeho Achronim? It says, Leah v'yaladeho Achronim. What do you mean? They're not achrayim. So you see, achrayim means latter. It doesn't always mean less. Rachel v'yaladeh achrayim, that's achrayim. But Leah v'yaladeh achrayim means after the shvachas. Then he quotes another raya from the pasuk in the beginning of Chumash Mois, when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to Paro. So he says, in order for me to deliver a nevuah, they have to believe that I'm a Navi. How do you establish that you're a Navi? You have to show osus amofsim. You have to show some simonim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me you should do two simonim. So one simon was the mate should be nepach lenochesh, then switch back into a mate, and then his hand, he should put his hand into his chest, it's going to be mitzaras kashalik, then he puts it in, and it goes back, it becomes normal again. So it says, "Lo yishma l'kol ha'os harishon v'yish v'shoma l'kol ha'os ha'acharon." They'll believe you based on the second os. "Lo yishma gam l'shnei ha'os ha'ele." If they don't listen to either of the osos, so then you should take some of the mayim asher. What are they telling them to do? The mime should turn it. No, the mime should turn into dam. The mime should turn into dam. So it says, "Mlo yishma l'kol ha'os harishon, v'shama l'kol ha'os ha'acharon." That's the os ha'acharon, the last. Then it's "Mlo yishma l'shem ha'os ha'ele." Then "Meshafachta men adam bayabash v'yadam ledam v'yamaim lachem ledam." How can there be a third os? But he said the os ha'sheni was the os ha'acharon. So you see, from that pasuk also, then in biblical Hebrew, the word Achron means latter. It doesn't always mean the last. So when the Navi Chagai refers to the second Beis HaMikdash as the Godli Yekvod HaBayis HaZeh HaAchron, Achron means this second Beis HaMikdash, the latter Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't mean the last Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Tosis Yontif answered. So one of the Chassidish Rebbes, the Rishona, made a comment on this Tosis Yontif. He said, there's a pasuk by the Korban Pesach, said, "Vay Adam Lechem Liosa Labatim." So the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is that the Jews will put the Dam of the Korban Pesach, Ashtem Zizos V'Alamashkov. So the Rishon has said, no, v'hoi adam, the simon, Moshe Rabbeinu had three oises. One ois was the mata nepach lenochash, and one ois was that his hand turned into tzaras, and the third ois was the dam nepach le, the mayim nepach le dam by Abosha, the water turned into dam. Hoy adam leham leos ala batim. That'll be the proof that there'll be a third Beis Hamikdash. And the batim mikdash. That's for avort from the Rishonim. Yeah, this whole discussion is on the assumption that when the Novi Chagai referred to the second Beis Hamikdash, he's referring to the second Beis Hamikdash as the Achron. So then the Chacham asks the Tosfos Yontov, how do we pray for a third Beis Hamikdash if the second was the last one? And they said in Biblical Hebrew, in Tanakh, Achron does mean the last one. The Rashash's son, Matisosh Rashan, has her Oris on Baba Basra printed in the back of the Vilna Shas. The other Mesichtas, I don't think they have from him. Just on Baba Basra, son Dav Gimel, he quotes, he has a little bit of an essay, a paragraph. So he quotes a passage from the Zohar, that the Zohar interprets that pasuk in Treyosa, in Chagai. Godliya quote, Habayis Hazeh is the second Beis Hamikdash Achron. Hazeh Achron is hyphenated. Hazeh means the second, Achron means the third Beis Hamikdash. That this second, third Beis Hamikdash, the third Beis Hamikdash will be a hemshech of the second. Second was not a hemshech of the first. First Beis Hamikdash was utterly destroyed. Oru oru ad hayisaidba. It was completely destroyed. And the second Beis Hamikdash was mechadosh. But the third Beis Hamikdash will be considered a hemshech of the second. So that's how the Zohar interprets Galia quote, Habayis hazeh ho achron hyphenated. The second third will be greater than the first Beis Hamikdash. So Taka does learn how achron goes on the third Beis Hamikdash, not on the second. It's a different interpretation.
When we were learning Nedarim in the Kol, Rebbe, there was a Rashash in the middle of Nedarim who attacked the Tosfos Yom Tov with a few other psukim, assuming that it's about Bayit Sheni. And we showed it to Rebbe.
Assuming that what?
That it's about Bayit Sheni, and he showed how there's, like, you have to have a series. He had a different shot on what the word Acharon means, and we showed it to Rebbe, and Rebbe said, they're both wrong. Both Tosfos Yom Tov and the Rashash are wrong. Acharon just means ladder. And there was some distinction between the pshatim that Rabbi just said, that they're both wrong.
Okay, I don't remember. Wow. Very good. All of the children of Yankov bowed down in the presence of Esav, everybody, Adoni Esav and Avdocha Yankov. He's so nichna. The Medrash says he was punished for that because he was so nichna. He shouldn't have been so nichna. The Jewish people sometimes have to demonstrate their independence. They can't always do Doron. Sometimes they have to do Mohama with a little self-esteem. But so the Medrash has a comment. Why did it turn out historically that Beis Hamikdash was built by Chelka Shel Binyamin from all of the Shvatim? So the Medrash says because Binyamin wasn't born yet. He was the only one who didn't bow down to Esav. Beis Hamikdash has to be built in the chelik of one of the shvatim who has self-dignity. He shouldn't have to bow down to the guy. The Medrash has another suggestion why the Beis HaMikdash has built b'chelkos shel Binyamin, because Binyamin was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. All the others were born in Chutz Lars, Binyamin was born in Eretz Yisrael. So some say that the two answers are the same. The Sabras, who are born in Eretz Yisrael, have a lot of chutzpah. They're not nichna to anybody. The Jews, when they lived in Golos all the years, they prepared themselves for Dorum. They always had a dance to the tune of the Goyim, and they were always appeasing the Goyim, and so on, Adoni Esav and Avdecha Yankov, and Binyamin, because he was born in Eretz Yisrael, that's why he was a tough cookie, and he wouldn't bow down to Esav, and so on. No, that's what we see now. The Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael does both Doron, when they can, with Saudi Arabia, and with the other Arab countries, and with Iran, they do Milchama. They're doing Muhammad. Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu came back to Eretz Yisrael, he bought an area in Shechem. And the Medrash says that there are three locations in Eretz Yisrael that the Jews paid for. Avraham Avinu paid for the Moras HaMachpelah, and Yaakov Avinu paid for the area in Shechem, and David HaMelech paid for Goren Arabna HaYavusi. So these three areas, this for sure belongs to the Jewish people. There's not trach to have any machlokes on that. And that's where all the Muhammad is. The Goyim claim that the Shechem is theirs, and they claim the Maros Machpelah is theirs, and they claim that the Makam HaMikdash is theirs. Our tradition has it that our ancestors paid for these places, and then for sure it belongs to us. When Shechem ben Hamor wanted to marry Dina, so the brothers said, you have to convert to become Jewish. We can't allow our sister to marry a non-Jew. So they did a gir shaloi ka'alocha. Now you have a lot of non-Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They go through Mila. They dip in a mikveh, but there's no Kabbalah on mitzvahs at all. They don't accept any all mitzvahs at all. That's the essence of Geirus, the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. So that's what the Anshei Shechem did a gir shaloi ka'alocha. They just did the superficial Masei HaGeirus. They had the Bris Mila, but they didn't accept Yichud Hashem. They didn't accept the main part of the religion. We believe in monotheism. So the whole Geirus was ridiculous. You have the story in Sefer Melachim about the Kusim. The Kusim were being attacked by lions in Eretz Yisrael, which was unusual. It does make sense. The lions don't roam around in Eretz Yisrael. So they understood it must be something min HaShemayim, must be the God of the Jewish people, must be the God over Eretz Yisrael. So they figured when they live in Eretz Yisrael, they have to convert to become Jewish, otherwise they're going to be attacked by the lions. So they converted, but they never accepted Yichud Hashem. It says in the Tanakh, they still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. As Elohim Hayu Ovdim, they still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. So the gear was gear shaloi ka'alocha. That's the essence of gear, says the Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The lions were satisfied though, so the lions stopped attacking them. So that's what Tosfos explains in the Gemara. The initial conversion of the Kusim was meaningless because it was a lack of Kabbalah on mitzvahs. The Kabbalah on mitzvahs is certainly me'akeh b'dieved. Then over the years, in the days of the Tanaim, they saw that the Kusim are observing many of the mitzvahs according to Torah Shebichsav and not observing Torah Shebal Peh. So they had a whole machlokes, a historical machlokes. Where did this, how did this develop? Where, how did this phenomenon develop? That they're observing a little bit. Did they pick it up by osmosis? Their initial geirus was not valid, but they were living in Eretz Yisrael, so they saw the way the Jews observed mitzvahs. So they picked up some of the mitzvahs. So should we assume that Shuvin is Gara B'Lev Sholem? Maybe they all underwent another geirus at some time from the days of the Tanakh to the days of the Tanaim, quite a few centuries. Maybe they were Megaira a second time. And then they were slacking off, and then they didn't observe fully all the mitzvahs. So that was the machloikas in the days of the Tanaim, where the Kusim Geri Emes or Kusim Geri Arois. We assume Lalocha Kusim Geri Emes. We assume that historically there must have been another conversion, at which time there were Mekabal all mitzvahs and they were Jewish. But then only later they slacked off. And then Rab Meir made the Gzeira when he saw that some of the Kusim were worshipping Dmus Yoina Al Har Grizim. They were worshipping a statue in the form of a dove. Al Har Grizim, so he was Gezer and all the Kusim Dina Kakum. So that's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. That's quoted in the Yoridei and in Ebenezer. When they were Gezer and the Kusim Dina Kakum, is that Bein Lekula Bein Lechumer? Is it only Lechumer? So that's a big discussion for some other occasion. But the original Giver Shalai Kalocha was in Parshas Vayishlach when the Anshei Shechem pulled off such a stunt. They did the Bris Mila, but there was no Kabbalah on mitzvah. At that time, there were not Taryag mitzvahs. There was just the mitzvah of Mila and the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, monotheism, not to worship Avodah Zarah. That's the Bnei Noach also moves around that. And Eretz Yisrael is our national homeland. That was at that time. And you're not allowed to intermarry. That's it. But they didn't accept anything. They didn't accept the Yichud Hashem. So the Geirus was not valid. There's a line in the Rambam. The Rambam says that if you do the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not Miyakev. So some rabbis misunderstood the Rambam. The Rambam should not be studied by people who don't know how to read it. Some rabbis misunderstood the Rambam that if a non-Jew says he wants to convert, he wants to become Jewish, and doesn't accept any mitzvahs, so he becomes Jewish. Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not miyakev. So that's utterly ridiculous. That's the essence of Geirus. That's the essence of Geirus. Some professor in Jewish history published a book around 30 years ago that this idea that Kabbalah on mitzvahs is ma'akev in Geirus was only invented in the 1850s by the Shadrach Shuvah's Beis Yitzchok. He was a rabbi in Lemberg. That's ridiculous. Kabbalah on mitzvahs is the ABC of what Geirus is all about. It's a chiddush that you need the tefillah with the milah and the tefillah and the mikveh. That's a chiddush. But the essence of Geirus is Kabbalah on mitzvahs. What does the Rama mean that the Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not miyakev? So Rab Chaim Oizer has a tshuva, Rab Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, Rab Soloveitchik, they all quote. It means the formality of Kabbalah on mitzvahs, that when the ger is up to his neck in the mikveh, in the water, and then you say, do you reject the Trinity? Do you believe in one God? Do you believe in Torah Midrash Hamayim? Do you accept Torah Sheba'al Peh? The formal dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvah, that's not miyakev. But yeah, the bezin has to know. You need a bezin. The bezin has to know that the ger is indeed accepting Yichud Hashem. He believes in monotheism, and he plans to observe all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Pasuk says that when Yaakov Avinu came to the city Shechem, so it says, Vayichan as pnei ha'ir. What do you mean, Vayichan poshib shat? He encamped on the outskirts of the city. Vayichan, Miloshan Chanaya. The Gemara in Shabbos and the Ma'amad Likin and Daf Lama Gimel understands differently. Vayichan, Miloshan Chain. That since he had a Hatzolah, he was Nitzel from Lavan, he wanted to express his gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if a person wants to express gratitude, what should you do to show? Instead of giving karbonis to the Baruch Shalom, in addition to giving karbonis to the Baruch Shalom, he brought karbonis, but also by Yichan Aspenehuir, you should do something to improve the world. So the Gemara has three interpretations, three suggestions, what did he do? So one opinion is that he instituted a monetary system. Instead of everybody doing barter when they go shopping, I have to bring sacks of potatoes in order to buy a horse. I give you money and you'll give me money. When you buy the potatoes, you'll give me money. When I buy your horse, I'll give you money. So he introduced a monetary system. The other suggestion in the Gemara is that he instituted shopping malls. Instead, if I want to buy a horse, I have to go over there. I want to buy potatoes, I go over there. I want to buy vegetables, I go over there. Everything you buy, furniture, you buy in a different place. So they have a shopping mall where they sell everything at the same place. And the third opinion in the Gemara was that he introduced batei merchatzos to improve their health, that they should bathe more often. If you don't have a beis hamerchatz, you're going to all be dirty, and then you're going to get sick. You're going to have rashes and so on. So the Gemara quotes all the three suggestions. Before Binyamin was born, after all the other children were born, before Binyamin was born, Kadosh Baruch Hu appeals to Yaakov and he tells him, Goy kol goyim yehem emecha. So the Gemara understands that means you're going to have Goya Kalgoyim born later. What does it mean? You're going to have another two Shvatim. He had another son, Binyamin, that was another Shevet. And then he understood from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that one of the Shvatim is going to split in half. So he understood that he had the right to determine. So he gave that schus to Yosef. So Yosef was split between Menashe and Ephraim. And that's what he said, Menashe and Ephraim, Kirum Mishim and Yiyali. I consider them like two shvatim, because and Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Kodesh Baruch Hu told them, Goya Kalgoyim, they're going to be two shvatim, Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. That's what the Gemara understands from the Pasuk. Each Shevet is considered a Kohol. What is that relevance? That's Mishnayos in the first Perek in Hirius. There is a din if an individual person violates an Issa Koris B'Shoigeg, he brings a chatas. What if 51% of Klal Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael violate an Issa Koreis because of a mistaken psak of the Bez Nagadol? Instead of requiring each and every individual person to bring his own korban chatas, the Torah says, Torah prescribes a parhalam davashel tziba, but the Bez Nagadol has to bring a chatas, and all of the people, all the 51%, all the people who violated this Issa get the kapora with that korban. So the Mishnah has a machlekes hatanoim. Not only was there a Bez Nagadol in Yerushalayim, every Bezna had its own shevet. That's based on Rambana Chumisha. That's but based on the pasuk Shoftim Shatit Lecha Lishvatecha. Lishvatecha means Chol Shevet V'Shevet. It says Bisharecha. Every city needs a Bezn, and every shevet needs a Bez Nagadol. Shalah Shevet. Bez Nagadol by every Shevet can paskin differently for each Shevet. The whole plan was there are going to be 12 different drachim and avodas Hashem. Every Shevet is going to have a different derech and avodas Hashem. Every Shevet will have its own Bez Nagadol to paskin for them. Whatever the Bez Nagadol Shibushalayim paskins is binding on everybody, on all the Shvatim. Whatever the Bez Nagadol Shalos HaShevet paskin is binding on that Shevet. So there's a machlekes hatanaim, and we paskin Shevet Dechad Ikri Kohol. If the Bez Nagadol of one Shevet made a mistake on an Issa Koris, And 51% of that shevet violated that isur kores b'shoyge, because in the mistake in psaka the Bez Nagadol. So then the Bez Nagadol of that shevet brings a parhal and davar shel tzimin. Not only Bez Nagadol shel Yerushalayim. So that's based on this pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, Goyu kal goyim yeh mimeko, he's only going to have two moshvatim, Binyamin, and Yosef is going to be split between Menashe and Ephraim. Each one of the shvatim is referred to as a goy and a kohol. So that's the klal goyu kal goyim, that's the klal, the shevedechet ikri kohol. The Brisker Rav in his Sefer HaChumash quotes a commentary of the Ravid on the Torah's Kohanim, that we have a haftocha, Anei Hashem, it's a novi, Anei Hashem lo shanis, about 10 b'nei Yankiv lo chilisim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised the Jewish people will never disappear. So the Ravid quotes a Gemara in Yesh Nechonim that not only will the whole Jewish people not disappear, Gemira, we have a tradition that Lord called the shift to Israel. It'll never happen that an entire Shevet will disappear. The Gemara says, a person dies, so the Yerusha goes to his children, doesn't have children, goes to his uncles, his cousins, his fifth cousins, tenth cousins. What if the whole Sheva died out? So you say the Yerusha goes back. That's called Mishmash Nachlo. You figure out who's the closest relative. So the whole Sheva died out, so it should go back to Yaakov Avinu, and all the Shvatzim should divide it. So the Gemara said, that'll never happen. Gemiri, we have a tradition. The Lord called the Shifta Misol. An entire Sheva, it'll never happen that an entire Sheva will die out. So where does that come from? So the Ravid said, that's based on this, because the Yaakov Avinu was told that he's going to have two moshvatim, and each shevet is referred to as goy, and a kohol, shevet echadik we call. So the haftocha that was given to Klal Yisrael, that atem and Yaakov lo chelisim, Klal Yisrael will never disappear, that haftocha applies to each one of the shvatim individually. At the end of the parsha, the Chumash talks about Timna ha'isav pelekesh la'lifaz ben Esav. Who is this Timna? So the Gemara has a whole agarata that Timna was a bas melech, and she wanted to convert in the days of Avram Avinu, and Avram Avinu didn't convert her. And she went to Yitzchak, he didn't convert her. He went to Yankov, and he didn't convert her either. So, but she wanted to join the Jewish people. So she wanted it so much, if they don't let her convert, so she can't marry a Jew. So at least she wants to marry someone from the descendants of Avram Avinu. So she became a Pilegish to Eliphaz ben Esav. She became a Pilegish to Eliphaz. And then she gave birth to Amalek, the Pasuk says. She gave birth to Amalek. So the Jewish people was punished because of the fact that Avram Yitzchak Yankov were not Mekabel Gerim. Why were they talking about Mekabel Gerim? It's condemnation. Why were they not Mekabel Gerim? So different suggestions were given. So the Rashbam on that Pasuk quotes a Medrash from the Lekach Toiv, if I'm not mistaken, that he had a different gear than the Medrash from what we have. Where is this Pasuk? Here it's chapter Lamed Vav Pasuk Yud Beis. So it says, Pasuk Yud Aleph reads, Vayu ben Eliphaz Teimon Ar Mitzvah Begat Maknaz V'Simna. And then there's a printed Chumash. I have a printed Chumash here. There's a psik. There's a line separating. So the Medrash, as we have it, says, if you look in Direi Hayamim, it says Timna was a man. The Bnei Eliphaz, the sons of Eliphaz, what? Teimon, Aymar, Tzvay, Gatam, Knaz, V'Timna. And then it says, there was a Pilegish Lalifaz. It wasn't Timna. A Pilegish is a woman. Here, Timna is a man. The Rashbam quotes the Medrash differently, not the way we have it. Rashbam quotes the Medrash that the word Timna appears in the beginning of Pasuk Yud Beis. It goes on. It should be the last word in Pasuk Yud Aleph. You interpret it as if the word were written twice. There are two people, Timna. One was a man, one was a woman. So Timna is a Hemshech Adela El. This was another son of Eliphaz. Vayu ben Eliphaz, Taiman, Amitza, Gatam, Knaz, with Timna. That's why there's a psik. And then we read it also, with Timna was a girl's name, Haisa Pilegish Eliphaz. That's how the Rashbam had the Girsa and the Lekach Toiv and the Medrash. But the way we have the Girsa and the Lekach Toiv, it says not so. It says Timna, we don't know the name of the Pilegish Eliphaz. The Gemara says it was Timna. The Gemara, but the Medrash has a different version. But Timna was only a boy's name. That was one of the sons of Eliphaz. And that's why Shlomo Levilna suggests maybe that's why there's a psik over here. And they say, for third, there is no psik. But the psik probably means he's supposed to pause when you're laying, just like he's supposed to pause when you have a psucha or a stuma. He's supposed to pause more when you have a psucha than when you have a stuma. He's supposed to pause a little bit at the end of a seif pasuk. Many balikri have the practice that they'll read a run-on pasuk. They'll read quickly and they'll read the beginning of the next pasuk with the end of the first pasuk. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that that's a violation of the din. The din is called psuka de lepaske moish anan loy paskin, and you have to lay in kichsovay. So you're not allowed to pause in the middle of a pasuk to divide it into two psukim. And he thought included in that is you have to lay in kichsovay. You should pause in between one pasuk and the other. You shouldn't lay in two psukim as if they're really one pasuk. He thought that that's shaloi kedin. But over here, that's what it says in the Medrash. Timna is a boy's name, and the Pilegish, we don't know what her name was. So the psik and the pasik indicates that the Balkari should pause in the word the Timna and Haisla Pilegish. I don't think too many Balakri are going to pause. We have a Yiddish expression a lot of times. You wish a person should have a lot of Yiddish anachas from his children. So the people say, what do you mean Yiddish anachas? Because in today's Sedra, in the next pasik, I was just reading Psukim Yud Aleph and Yud Beis. Then it's the Ela B'nei Ru'el. The Ru'el was also a descendant from Esav. So one of his children was Nachas, was Zerach, Sham, Omiz, Ela Hayu B'nei Basmas, Eshes, Esav. So Nachas was a goy. So we're going to wish the parents they should have a lot of Nachas from their children. Nachas like this one, the goy. So we said, they should have Yiddish and Nachas. Shouldn't have Goyish and Nachas. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos. We should all be healthy.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question from last week?
Yes.
Yeah, I tuned in late. You connected Malava Malka to Parshas Vayetze. I didn't get the whole piece there.
The Ur Zeruah has a comment on the pasuk that Lavan chases after Yaakov, and he says, why did you sneak out? If you would have notified me in advance, I would have made it. Says Chem L'Shalom, V'Ashalechecha B'Simcha, B'Tofa B'Kinar. I would have made a musical farewell and a whole farewell dinner. So the Ur Zeruah says, the Ur Zeruah from the days of the Rebbe of the Maram Ritmerg was the Ur Zeruah. So the Ur Zeruah, the end of the Tkufa, the Baalei HaTorah, the Ur Zeruah says, this is the marker for the idea of Malava Malka. When you bid farewell to the Shabbos, you have a party and you play music because we love the Shabbos. So we make a fancy farewell.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very good. We should all be healthy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good Shabbos, everyone.
Yeah.
Good Shabbos. Thank you.
How many people are on that?
At 50, I think.
You know anybody?